Thanks, Andrew. For those who are new here, it's not always the Harris Family Show. There are other good people as well. So the Bible readings today, the first one is Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 19. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year, let the land lie unploughed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and with your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of my festival offerings must not be kept until morning. Bring in the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Moving on to Colossians, give you a minute to turn the page if you need to. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 17. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Luke, and if you didn't catch before, I'm our new ministry apprentice at Trinity Lockleys. It is really great that we get together today, and I'm really excited to open Exodus for us. So to give you a quick summary in our journey so far in Exodus, last year we covered the first half of Exodus, chapters 1 to 20. This is where we saw God free his people Israel from slavery in Egypt. We left them in chapter 20, standing around Mount Sinai in the desert. But now that they're free, the question the Israelites have is, what now? We've been freed, but how are we to live? The question in the second half of Exodus, chapters 21 to 40, this is what it answers. How are Israel meant to live? God summarizes this in Exodus 19, 5 to 6. Let me read. Now if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you'll be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Out of all the nations, Israel is meant to be a holy nation, set apart to obey God's instruction and to be his treasured people. And then that's why last week Des shared the first way Israelites were to be holy and set apart was by how they treated people. And the way they were to treat people was to love them. This week we're going to see another way that God made Israel to be holy and set apart. That is by how they treat their time, particularly how they rest. Today's passage on holy time is really valuable for you and I to hear today, because as you know, we live in a very time-orientated and time-pressured society. Rest can feel like an optional luxury. When we do try to rest, we can find it difficult to mentally switch off from our ideas or our to-dos or the problems swirling around in our minds. Or we might find it hard physically to stop flustering around and to make sure everything is done. Maybe you can clock off from doing things at first, but you're just not sure what you're meant to do when you're not working. So you rest idly filled up with doom scrolling, the news, endless house chores, or you just end up replying to more work emails. Whatever your relationship is with rest, I'm confident that we'll all benefit seeing our big idea today, that God made us to rest, and especially to rest in Jesus. How are we going to get there? If you look in your leaflet, you see that we have an outline on one page, and you'll see that I'm going to take us first through Exodus, and then we're going to see the rest cycles and seasons, our reasons, and then we're going to finish in Colossians. We're going to see the glorious reality of rest in Christ that the Old Testament law points towards. So let's start out our Exodus passage to see that God designed us for cycles of rest and to enjoy his creation. He takes us through three cycles of rest. The first time cycle, God says in Exodus, is to rest weekly. We see that in verse 12. Look there in your leaflet or Bible now. Verse 12. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work. Clearly, God wanted Israel not to be consumed with work every waking moment, but he wanted them to take a day off each week. Pretty straightforward. The second time cycle, a little bit longer now, God said is to rest annually, which we see in verses 14 to 17. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Celebrate the festival of harvest. Celebrate the festival of ingathering. Here we see that God wanted regular times of rest throughout Israel's annual calendar. The three festivals mentioned here are each important reminders of God's involvement in Israel's lives, so they don't forget him, and they're also forced to rest from work. God said rest was to be weekly, to be annual, and now the third time cycle, God said rest was to be every 7 years. Take a look at verses 10 and 11. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest your crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among you may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Here God points to an even larger timeline of rest, every 7 years. Don't do you work in your field. He lists other good social impacts on society, but his overarching point is still clear. Prepare to take a break after years of working hard. So it's clear that God intends for Israel to have regular cycles of rest, weekly, annually, and every 7 years. But why are they to rest? Let's take a look at the reason why Israel and we should rest. In Exodus 31, God brings up rest and how it is designed to help enjoy God's creation. Let's read Exodus 31, 16 to 17. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Here God says to rest and enjoy creation because he rested when he finished 6 days of creation work in Genesis. Now, why did God rest? Was it because he was exhausted after all his hard work, so needed to collapse on the couch after making everything? Well, no. It couldn't have been because he's the all-powerful God. If we head to the creation reference in Genesis 1, we'll actually see the reason why God rested. Genesis 1, 31 to 2, 3. God saw all that he'd made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he'd rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We see God rested simply because he'd finished his work. So there's nothing left to do now but to enjoy and take in everything that he had done. So what's the reason that we should rest and enjoy God's creation? It's because God rested. Now, for reasons we'll see in a moment, I don't think Old Testament laws apply directly to us today. They're not laws for us, but because they're rooted in Genesis, in the creation design, I think they're still wise for us to follow. That is, even though Christians have no official Sabbath, it is still wise for us to have cycles of rest, including a day off each week. Back in university, I was great at thinking about the work that I had to do. I would plan out my classes, my study timetable, my social life, my morning runs. I was great at actively planning this work. But one thing became apparent. Although I knew rest was a good idea in theory, many weeks I would just completely forget to put rest in my calendar. Sometimes I'd lie down on my hardwood bedroom floor and just close my eyes because I couldn't justify sleeping in my bed. After all, I had so much left to do. I'd fall asleep sometimes when I catch up with my friends or on my desk when I was studying. Clearly, I had a rest problem. I think this is the kind of wisdom that Exodus speaks to. This kind of living that the wisdom of Exodus speaks to. It tells people like me to take intentional rest cycles. My restless time in uni also reminds me of my limited human condition, that I don't have God's capacity to finish all the work before I rest. But I will have to leave stuff until later. My human limits remind me to have dependence and awe in God's limitless capacity. So what are some of the other ways we might apply the wisdom of resting in cycles and rhythms? Well, if we're studying, it's good to take dedicated breaks on weekends, school holidays, semester breaks, go away with your families and friends. If you're a worker, do you have months of unused annual leave? It might be time to take it. If you're retired, you might find it a bit easier to rest, but if not, you may need to plan a day when you don't have medical appointments or the grandkids around. Now, it's important to note that while all rest means to stop working and actively enjoy God's creation, not all rest looks the same for everyone. I like to rest by not doing any admin, spending time with my wife and friends, maybe sipping coffee, maybe doing something active outdoors. On the other hand, you might find rest refreshing by reading a book, playing music, having the family around, or doing a hobby project. But just a quick word of caution that whatever you're refreshed by, don't let it become so big and so stressful that it stops being restful in the first place. So we've seen that God gave wise principles for rest in the creation and the law so that Israel, you and I can find regular rhythms of refreshment and enjoy his creation. But that's not all, because God also made us to especially find rest in Jesus. God has yet more to say about rest since Exodus, yet I'm just going to touch on the most significant development for rest in the New Testament book of Colossians. The rest we've talked about so far is actually only a shadow of the reality found in Jesus. Turn to your leaflet or Bibles to Colossians 2. See verse 16 and 17. Here's the reference to the Sabbath and the law as only a shadow. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The Sabbath day is a shadow that points us to a different, greater reality in Jesus. But wait, God seemed pretty clear and serious about the Sabbath laws back in Exodus. Let me read Exodus 31, 14 for us. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. Boy, it was sure a serious crime for an Israelite to not follow the full day of rest. And so it begs the question, should we follow a Sabbath day by taking a whole day off each working week or not? Well, we already saw from the creation pattern that there's certainly wisdom in taking a full day of rest. But it's clearly no longer law. See Colossians 2:16. It points out that we can no longer be judged on following the Sabbath or not, because it's just a shadow that's pointing to a greater reality. God's people are now under Christ as a greater fulfillment of the Old Testament laws like the Sabbath, which were good and wise for a time, but aren't legally binding for us today. My wife Amanda and I decided to move from Queensland to Adelaide a few years ago. Although we had Google Maps, detours on long highways cost a lot of time, so we weren't prepared to take any chances. That meant that road signs became our best friend, and we were constantly checking them. Adelaide, 700 kilometres, Adelaide, 500 kilometres, Adelaide, 150 kilometres. When we finally arrived in Adelaide, we didn't need those signs anymore. But that doesn't mean that they're pointless. They did their job to get us there. It's a bit like that with the Sabbath laws. Before Jesus came, God's people followed the shadows of the Sabbath laws. But now that we've arrived at the greater reality in Jesus, we have no longer a need to follow those laws. Not because they were bad, but just because they'd done their job. So the Sabbath is not legally binding for Christians today. Let's jump back to Colossians in 13 and 14. We're going to see what the glorious reality is that's in Jesus. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Here, Colossians gives the glorious reality. Jesus wins for us peace with God, the ultimate state of rest. But how does this work? Well, verse 13, all of us at one time were dead in our sin and against God. Verse 14, but Jesus took our sin, paid its penalty of death at the cross, and this payment lets God forgive us, meaning we don't need to die or pay for our sin anymore. But even still, that's not all. Christians get made alive with Jesus. So we now share the same peace with God that Jesus does. Alive and forgiven, Jesus gives us ultimate peace with God forever. What a glorious reality indeed. Now this leads us to our first application. We can have spiritual rest in the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. Peace with God from the forgiveness in Jesus. It's a glorious reality, and let's tease it out a little bit. For those who trust Jesus, Colossians shows us great news that the temporary good rest the Sabbath points to is the permanent spiritual rest in Jesus. We can stop chasing and striving after the elusive, I'm finished. When we feel like we haven't done enough, we can turn to Jesus and be sure that he has done enough. Peace with God is a reminder to lay down our spiritual anxieties. We're at peace with God. Now, although Jesus has done this, it's not automatically given to us. We do need to ask for this. And if you're here today and you've not yet placed your trust in Jesus, you're so welcome and we're really glad you're here. And I think the spiritual rest in Colossians that Jesus offers is worth considering. If what Colossians says is true, then without Jesus, my spiritual state before God is still dead in sin, and I don't have peace with God yet. That's the greatest state of human unrest. Today is a great time to stop any distant hoping or anxious guessing that you're at peace with God, and instead ask for forgiveness in Jesus. That's the longest lasting, deepest rest, more than any long weekend or holiday can offer. We'd love for you to ask about this spiritual rest with myself, with Des, or any trusted Christian that you know here. We'd all be really delighted to help you. Now, this leads us to our second application. Peace with God helps our physical rest now be better. How much more enjoyable is our Saturday dinner with the family or the holidays overseas when we aren't being plagued with the uncertainty for our eternal future or our standing before God or that we've done enough? Peace with God certainly helps us enjoy physical rest now even more. So to close, we've seen that the Old Testament laws and the Sabbath are good and wise, but only a shadow that points to Jesus. These old ways to rest point to the far more triumphant and glorious reality that God has especially made us to rest in Jesus. And we rest in Jesus because he won peace with God for us. And that shapes our physical rest now. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father God, for making us to rest and giving us a way to rest in Jesus. Help us to rest physically and in the rest that you have won for us on the cross. Let us remember that we have peace with God and that can end our spiritual striving and anxiety now. Amen.